I had expected that my last heaven sermon, part 8 a couple of weeks ago, I'd expected that that would be the last in the heaven series. But, the big but, the day after I gave that part 8 sermon, Warren stopped by our apartment and he threw me a bit of a curveball with a very valid question about the subject. Just to reduce it into a nutshell, is what Warren asked basically. As the New Jerusalem will be on the new earth, isn't it more likely that we will spend eternity there on the new earth rather than in the new heaven? I believe that's the crux of what Warren was asking there, and that's a great question. And I had thought of it before, and I didn't go into it. And although I didn't have a ready answer right away that afternoon, I promised Warren that I would research an answer to his question. But in doing so, because some additional information came to light that I thought might interest you, my research for my answer to Warren's question grew like the proverbial topsy and expanded into another sermon, part 9, and that's what I'm giving you today. So this is Heaven, part 9. Let's go first of all to the book of Isaiah, because in order to find as complete as possible an answer to Warren's question, I needed to re-examine the main New Heaven, New Earth and New Jerusalem scriptures, including those that we studied in part 8. So let's begin with a few of the relevant scriptures in the book of Isaiah. Some of them we looked at in part 8, some of them we didn't. So here is Isaiah quoting the Lord God speaking here. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein, talking about they that dwell therein, the physical human beings in the first earth, shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness, please note that righteousness, shall not be abolished. My salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Well, please remember this last detail about the Lord's righteousness, because it crops up again later. Okay, please go over to chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55, and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9. Very well known scripture here. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And this is so very, very true, and especially for the world today, the uncalled and unconverted world today. However, once we've received God's Holy Spirit, and once we have become begotten members of God's family, his ways and his thoughts begin to become ours. And the longer we grow in grace and knowledge, the longer we grow in the womb of his church, the more his ways and his thoughts increase in us. And once we're actually fully born again, at the time of the first resurrection, born of the Holy Spirit, born into God's family, he will imbue each of us with a full portion of his Spirit, of his ways, of his thoughts, his knowledge, and his righteousness. and possibly even more so, if that were possible, at the time following the millennium and following the great white throne judgment period and of the transition between the old heaven and earth and the new heaven and earth. After that transition takes place, well, let me just, I'll quote a scripture that you know very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 12. You don't have to turn there, you know it so well. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So we'll have perfect knowledge then. Like Abraham and like the other heroes of faith, Isaiah yearned for that time. Yes, Isaiah yearned for the first resurrection and for the millennium, but he yearned even more, especially for the wonderful events that will follow the millennium, even including the passing away of the first heaven and the dissolving of the first earth. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 64. You see here how he really is yearning for that time. He's not holding back. He's not holding on to this world. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might flow down at your presence. Still in Isaiah, on to the next chapter, chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And verse 16, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16. He who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And the Hebrew there is Elohim Amen, the God of truth. Shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, and that which he creates includes the new heaven and the new earth and something else. Look what he says, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I, the God of truth, will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. A couple of points that we need to look at here in chapter 65. First of all, I just absolutely love that title, the God of Truth, and the Hebrew Elohim Amen. It's a wonderful title that we don't often see. Secondly, as also mentioned in other scriptures, in the time following the Great White Throne Judgment period, the Lord Jesus and the Father will have the ability to make themselves forget the former troubles, including the former sins of mankind. And obviously that's once they're confessed and once they're repented, of course. Thirdly, the God of truth tells us that he creates the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting here that he doesn't mention any of the three, the new heaven or the new earth or the new Jerusalem, actually coming down to us, not here at least. We'll come back to that in a minute. But he does tell us, though, that the time of these new creations will be a time of great, great joy, and that he, the God of truth, will rejoice in the new Jerusalem, and that he will joy in his people. And there yet again is that aspect that we see throughout the scriptures of Jesus and the Father dwelling in us. Amazing. Let's go over to the next chapter, chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22. Isaiah 66, 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me. He said in the last chapter that he's going to create the new heavens and the new earth. He says, he a different word, but he says, I will make the new heavens and the new earth shall remain before me, says the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. A couple of points, four different points from this verse too. The Lord reiterates that he'll make or create the new heavens and the new earth. Once again, he does not mention the new heavens and the new earth coming down to us out of heaven. But he does mention that they shall remain before him. And the implication there is that they will remain before him for all of the eternity in the future. Okay? For all the future eternity. And the fourth point is that the seed and the name of his people, his saints, his bride, likely the new name that's mentioned in Revelation, shall also remain as long as the new heavens and the new earth remain, again, for all of the future eternity. So some interesting points there. Okay, continuing, still in Isaiah chapter 66, and please note that in the same time frame of the new heavens and new earth, as we continue, verse 23, and it's kind of interesting what he says here, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. To all flesh. Don't want to get into their worm shall not die, or into their fire not being quenched. That's a different subject altogether. What I want to concentrate on here is the words all flesh. Although true that during the millennium, all of the human beings of the world who are alive during the millennium will go up to worship Jesus and the Father continually from Sabbath to Sabbath and from new moon day to new moon day. The all flesh mentioned here for this post-millennial time frame cannot be referring to actual physical flesh. Why not? Because we know that nothing physical, including physical flesh, will remain after the fiery purging of the earth prior to the coming of the new heavens and earth and Jerusalem. So just to be clear on this, let's take a few minutes to digress in order to drill down into this topic of flesh. The Hebrew word for flesh here in verses 23 and 24 is basar, B-A-S-A-R, and that's Strong's 1320, Strong's 1320. And it can also be translated as selves, bodies, mankind, or humans. And this can properly and logically include what we call last time as X-Men, or the ex-human beings, the born-again spirit beings that used to be human beings, okay, at that time. And this is proved in many other scriptures which show us that the term flesh can and does also refer to spirit beings. The Apostle Paul explains this in some detail. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we call the Resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is a resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, physical, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. A lot of logic there from the Apostle Paul, very logical things that he says there. Although the spiritual kind of body and flesh is eternal, the physical skin kinds of body and flesh are very temporary, as we know. Let's go over to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a couple of verses here. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. The Greek phrase there is logos theos, the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh, the human physical kind of flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Endures forever. So the Apostle Peter totally agrees with the Apostle Paul. Let's go back into the Old Testament again. Let's see what Job has to say on the subject. And Job, as he went through his trials, he did seem, maybe because of the pain that he was going through, he seemed to vacillate as to which resurrection he wanted to come up in, but won't get into that right now. Let's read in Job 19, a couple of verses here, in Job 19 and verse 25, wonderful words that we can hear in Handel's Messiah. Job 19 and verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin, the Hebrew word is our, O-W-R, after my skin worms destroy this body, this physical body, yet in my flesh, in my basar, shall I see God. Interesting words. I wondered about this for so many years about what Job said here. And if the repentant Job comes up in the first resurrection, which I believe he will, which I assume that he will, he certainly will not be in his physical human flesh when he first sees God. Absolutely not. But once again, what we read here is that this obviously, Job's words obviously imply that in the Hebrew language, skin and flesh are not always necessarily the same. And it's actually the same in the New Testament Greek as well. In the New Testament Greek, if we look through it, we find that the word flesh is sarx, S-A-R-X, and the word skin, the English skin, is dermatinos, as in dermatitis type of thing, dermatinos. Let's look at one scripture here in the New Testament on this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Actually, we'll look at a couple of verses on it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, just the one verse. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. At sarx, S-A-R-X. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So in this verse, the Apostle Peter here is quoting the prophet Joel, and he's referring to the time of the second resurrection here. The second resurrection, the resurrection of all of those billions of newly resurrected people with their newly regenerated physical human bodies, okay? And we read about that in Ezekiel at the Valley of Dry Bones. Don't have to go there today. And for a time after the second resurrection, and we think that it's possibly 100 years, again, back in Isaiah, there's an implication that it's going to be that the Great White Throne Judgment period is going to be 100 years long. During that Great White Throne Judgment period, these resurrected people are going to be in what we can call their new skin, their newly recreated physical human bodies. And again, the Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones scripture, you know, proves that for us. But at the end of that Great White Throne Judgment period, the repentant human beings from the second resurrection will be changed to spirit beings, and at that time will be grouped together with the 144,000 first fruits under the banner of all flesh, quote unquote, all flesh. And we see the same kind of thing back in Luke, something that John the Baptist said here. Let's just go back into Luke chapter 3, and again, just one short verse here, Luke chapter 3 and verse 6. Luke chapter 3 and verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In this verse, we can be sure that at the time that all flesh will actually see the salvation of God, none of that flesh will still be human or physical. Likewise, at the time following the Great White Throne Judgment period, and after the second, let's call them the second resurrection multitude, are changed from human beings to spirit beings, just as all flesh will then be composed of spirit essence, what we call spirit essence, so the new heavens and the new earth, yes, and the new Jerusalem too, will be composed of incorruptible spirit, not of corruptible physical matter. Please go over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Because of, because of these verses that we read in Jesus' revelation that he has given to us via John, we can be sure that at the time of the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no physical corruptible flesh left. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. And it seems, as we in the world today, as we go, as the world seems to be getting worse and worse, it seems that almost everything in the physical world today is capable, very capable of defilement, capable of working abominations, and certainly capable of making lies. And hence, I mean, this is not a new thing. I mean, maybe it's worse than it ever has been since the time of Noah, I don't know. But this caused the necessity under the Old Covenant sacrificial system for God to command the Levitical Aaronic priests to continually make atonements for people and for things. Still in Revelation chapter 21 verse 27 there, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, let's read the whole thing, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but, you can add the word only in there if you want, but only they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And of course these are, in other words, these are the X-Men, the ex-human beings, now in the God family. The 144,000 first fruits from the first resurrection, and the innumerable multitude from the second resurrection. Those who've confessed and repented. Anyway, all the former things, including the first earth, will have passed away, because they'll have been dissolved in fire. And that will include any remaining unrepentant human beings who will have rejected God's way of life, and so will, at the end of the great white throne judgment period, will have been judged unworthy to be changed to eternal spirit, and unworthy to have their names written in God's Book of Life. Okay, that was a digression to explain the flesh. Explain the flesh thing to you, if you will. So after that digression, and I hope you found that worthwhile, let's return to our new heaven and new earth scriptures. Okay, still in the book of Revelation, let's back up to chapter 20. Once again, Revelation chapter 20. And once again, please note the time sequence here. And we're beginning here with the great white throne judgment period. And again, keep that in your mind, that period will perhaps be 100 years in length, we think. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. First heaven, first earth, gone. Verse 12, and I saw the dead. Okay, now, who were resurrected perhaps 100 years previously in the second resurrection, again, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, once again, every man according to their works. Now, brethren, these are not the works from their first original uncalled, unconverted human lives, but these are all the works that they will have exhibited during the great white throne judgment period, when they were given the opportunity at salvation. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Okay, so now these are the incorrigibly unrepentant, as judged at the end of the great white throne judgment period, was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And likely that will be the same fire that will engulf and dissolve the first earth. Okay, let's go back into Revelation 21 again. Back down into Revelation 21. And verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, as we just read in chapter 20, and there was no more sea. Jump down to verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Please notice, brethren, that the first heaven and this first earth will be among all the former things that will have passed away, which means that, according to the time sequence, the New Jerusalem will not be brought down to this first earth, but most likely will be brought down to the new earth. Also, that the New Jerusalem won't be brought down out of the first heaven, but rather will be brought down out of the new heaven. Okay, let's go over to back into Peter, 2 Peter now, and let's take another look at Peter's mention of this same future time. 2 Peter chapter 3. I know we're repeating from part 8, but I think it's necessary to go through the detail of this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord, again, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And again, this is at the end of the day of the Lord, the end of the 1,000-year day of the Lord, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, in other words, the first or former things, shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, or conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements, the first or former things, shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. There's that word again, righteousness. Please note, righteousness will dwell in the new earth, just as it will dwell in the new heaven. Let me repeat that. Righteousness will dwell in the new earth just as well as it will dwell in the new heaven. Now, we don't have time for it right now, but a quick word study on this, it would tell us that there are numerous scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that equate righteousness with God himself. So righteousness can be equated with God himself. And this means that the righteousness of God the Father and Jesus and the God the Father and Jesus themselves will dwell in the new heaven, but not just in the new heaven, but the new earth. Okay, logic tells us that. But through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, now during our human lives and through our eventual, ultimate, total change to Holy Spirit essence and to immortal Godship, that same godly righteousness, which according to many scriptures, we ex-human beings, as we'll be then, members of the God family, will by then have put on. We're going to put on righteousness. We're going to clothe our... Well, we're doing it now, gradually. But by then, we'll have totally put on godly righteousness. We'll have clothed ourselves fully with godly righteousness. So, if that is the case, we too will also be included in the ability to dwell in and to move between the new earth and the new heaven. See, I'm getting to my response now from my response to Warren's question here. We too will also be included in the ability to dwell in and move between the new earth and the new heaven. To our limited human minds, the boundaries between the future new heaven and new earth, and the new Jerusalem too, might seem to us to be somewhat blurred. But it's interesting, though, when we read through these scriptures, that only the new Jerusalem, but not the new heaven and the earth, are described as actually descending or coming down from heaven. Let's just look at the verses again real quick here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. These are the ones that do describe something coming down out of heaven from God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. Him that overcomes will I, is Jesus talking here, I, Jesus, make a pillar in the temple of my God. And that, like Jesus is God, is, you know, Jesus has a God, and that's God the Father. I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the Father, and the name of the city of my God, God the Father, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, from God the Father, and I will write upon him my new name. Go all the way down to chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, where we find the other couple of mentions of this event. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jump down to verse 10. And he, the angel, carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So we looked at the scriptures back in Isaiah, and we saw that the Lord Yahweh told us that he had been creating or making the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. We read that earlier on. We read the Apostle Peter's scriptures there. And through Peter, the Lord told us that, just like Abraham, we're to be looking for the new heavens and the new earth. And now here, we read what John tells us, Jesus tells us through John, that in his vision, he saw the new heaven and the earth and the new Jerusalem. But none of these three writers tell us that the new heaven and the new earth will come down or descend as they do with regard to the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is going to come down, but the new heaven and earth are not. They can't come down from themselves. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. But oh yeah, okay. A few scriptures do mention, we don't have to go into them now, but there are a few scriptures that mention Jesus or the angels going up and down between heaven and earth. And on the other hand, we have many, many scriptural examples of Jesus and various angels just materializing in various physical places on the earth. And especially we read of these during the times of Jesus' birth, Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus' ascension. Where he was he seemed to have the ability to just materialize in the upper room. He didn't have to come down from anywhere. Even today, we think about the astronauts who up in the International Space Station. They're up they're in what the Bible calls the second heaven, or what we believe is the second heaven. We call it space. And up there, the term up and down has little or no meaning. How much more so in the future spiritual realm of the new heaven and the earth, and also in the vast, possibly cube-shaped, possibly gravity-free New Jerusalem, that up and down have no meaning there. And again, we got to remember that even the first heaven, and the Apostle Paul calls it the third heaven. We're talking about the existing first heaven of God's current throne is a totally different realm than that of this physical first earth. And again, even more so with the new heaven and the new earth are going to be so different to what the earth is now. And you might remember from last time my analogy of the two separate TV channels. One can't see the other. Okay, a couple more questions, a couple more answers as we start to wrap this up now. Okay, question and answer here. Quick questions and answers. Number one, where is the heavenly Jerusalem right now? Where is it? It's in the third heaven. Okay. Where will the new Jerusalem be? The new Jerusalem. Answer, it'll be on the new earth. After descended from the new heaven. Another question. Where will the new eternal temple be? Okay, different answer here. It'll be wherever the Father and Jesus will be. But also, it'll be where we, because we'll be parts of the temple, and because we'll be parts of the God family, it'll be also where we will be. Question. Another question. At that time, at that incredible time, will we, as ex-human beings, will we be restricted to the new earth only? And the answer is no, absolutely not. Because as full members of the God family, we will be able to travel anywhere in the universe that we want to, and probably at the speed of thought. Just as our Father and Jesus will have the authority to travel as they do now, just as our Father and Jesus will have the authority to travel at will between the new earth and the new heaven, so will we. So in conclusion then, brethren, what is the bottom line? What's the bottom line? The bottom line is this. The new Jerusalem will be located on the new earth. But as full members of the God family, along with God the Father and Jesus, we too will have full access to the whole universe, including the new heaven.